Ever since 9/11, many in the West have been asking questions. The initial response of many in the United States was, why do they hate us? There was even a book of that title. And then came a time in which world leaders talked about the moderation of the vast majority in Muslim societies and the extremism of the few. In time, the focus was put on de-radicalisation programmes. And all these issues are very much the terrain of Aaron Kundnani and his book The Muslims Are Coming. He talks about the myth of radicalisation. What is that myth?
So the myth of radicalisation is the idea that some kind of radical religious ideology is the root cause of terrorism. And the problem with that is that it takes away from the wider political contexts, which always tend to get ignored in trying to understand what causes terrorism. You know, the question is that something to do with the ideologies that circulate within those populations, or is it to do with something specific about the social and political history of particular regions? And for me, it's the second of those. You know, what's unique about the history of the Middle East in the 20th century is that it's the last part of the world to experience European colonialism. And then this is something that happens in the Middle East after World War One, when many other European colonies are looking to start to begin the process of decolonization. The Middle East is starting the process of colonization. You know, what's unique about the Israel-Palestine situation, again, is the fact that in that post-war period when, you know, when colonies like India are becoming independent, that's exactly the moment when the Palestinians are experiencing a kind of European colonialism.
Well, okay. I mean, but my point is there are many communities who suffer many similar experiences to those in the Middle East. I mean, let's go to Crimea today. And many of the Ukrainians there would say they've been occupied by a colonial power. They could see it like that. But they are not going to respond, I think I'm fairly confident in saying, with bomb attacks on the London tube system. So there is a difference. And many people would say the difference is the jihadi ideology that's promoted by radical clerics who, too uncourageous themselves to mount these attacks, but get young children to do it for them, who are adolescent, impressionable, and that is the problem.
Right, and that's to me, a very partial picture, right? I think one way to come into this is to think about looking at the broader history of terrorism as a phenomenon in the modern world, okay? For the moment, put to one side Al-Qaeda, etc., and look at terrorism in general in the modern world. And what you find in all the different terrorist campaigns is that they come out of, not of some kind of moment of political radicalization, but actually out of a moment of political defeat, right? Actually the failure of political radicalization. The anarchist bombers at the end of the 19th century, they all come out of the defeat of the Paris Commune. You look at, you know, look at the IRA in Northern Ireland. It comes out of the failure of the civil rights movement to advance that agenda. Look at the African National Congress in South Africa. Terrorism experts have told us that with Al-Qaeda, there's something very different happening. It's some kind of new terrorism that is somehow all about religion. Actually, you know, I think you can tell a very similar story about you know, about Al-Qaeda, about Hamas, about all these other kinds of terrorist organisations that we call religious terrorism, actually have a part of that same historical pattern. They come out of a kind of political defeat of various social movements within the regions that where they exist.
Let me put the broad argument to you. I mean, at the moment, I mean, I think you would say that a lot of the driving forces behind what's been going on since 9/11 is Western armies occupying Muslim lands. And yet we've now got withdrawal from Iraq. We will have a withdrawal from Afghanistan probably this year. And I think you'd probably agree that that's not going to stop anything. The attacks will keep on coming.
The war on terror is ongoing. Certainly thousands of civilians have been killed in Yemen, Somalia, Pakistan as a result of drone strikes from the US and now also with the UK. That stuff is ongoing. There is a relationship between those kinds of
policies and
the violence that then comes out of those regions.
Do you not think when you talk to young men fighting in Syria, Western Pakistan, that, you know, one of the things that's driving them alongside resentment of Western foreign policy is a desire to spread their religion throughout the world, the hope of creating a caliphate either in those lands which were more Muslim controlled or indeed a global caliphate. And if you talk to these guys, that's what they want. I mean,
you know,
I suspect you're quite tough on the West for its expansionist elements, but what about applying the same standards to these young men?
Well, I think there's an assumption that having a radical religious ideology somehow inevitably creates violence, okay? And that, I don't think, actually stands up against the evidence, right?
Well, no, I guess what I'm inviting you to do is to be as tough on those young men for their views as you are on Western politicians for theirs.
Well, I mean, it depends what you mean by tough. I think in both cases, you have to be very precise about trying to understand what is the causes of these forms of violence on either side, right? Absolutely, there's violence on both sides here, and they're in a mutual cycle of, you know, where they both reinforce each other. But the dynamics of what's going on each side are slightly different because you're dealing, on the one hand, with you know, powerful states, on the other hand, with non-state actors.
And that was Aaron Kundnani there. You're listening to the BBC.